Job chapter number 1. I'm basically this morning, I want to introduce, for the teenagers this year, we have a theme for the young people. And we're going to teach about a lot about this year as the Lord allows us to with the teenagers. And I want to invite you to take this journey with us this year as we try to help the young people. And I wanted to introduce kind of our thought to you of what we're doing with the young people this morning. And it's an interesting subject. I've got 2 pages of Bible references here. Obviously we're not going to get to all those this morning, but it's something that if you would take a concordance, just a simple concordance, and just search out one word in the Bible, basically one word, you can do exactly what I've done, okay? So it's not, I just want to introduce the thought to you this morning. And let's go to Job chapter number 1. Job chapter 1. We're going to start at verse number 1. And we're going to read just 2 verses here, and then we'll pray, and we'll get started. Job chapter number 1, verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now look at down at verse number, look at verse 6. We'll just read a few here. Verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I don't take this for granted. I don't take this lightly. And Lord, I pray that you just help us as we look at your word this morning, and as we maybe just challenge our minds, the way we think about things. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, help our young people, Lord, as we try to work on this. Lord, I need to work on this in my life. And I pray that you would just help us in that. And just bless our pastor today. Bless all the services here and that are going on now, and the ones that will be coming later. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Bro Chad, what is your theme this year? Well, our theme for Blessed Hope Baptist Church for the youth group is walking uprightly. Walking uprightly. And if you notice in Job chapter 1, verse number 1, this is a definition that is given to Job. And it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. Now, perfect doesn't mean sinless, okay? Perfect means whole, complete, mature, okay? It doesn't mean that he was a man without sin, okay? But he was basically a mature Christian, if you would. And then the Bible says he was upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And then when God was talking to Satan, it's an interesting, we don't find very many conversations between God and Satan in the Bible, but this is one of them. And we find here that I hate to use the word proud, because pride is an abomination to the Lord, but God was kind of proud of Job. You know, that was kind of his, hey, look at Job. Did you notice Job? Did you notice my servant Job? And then God describes him here that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Okay, and escheweth basically means it means to turn off, to put down, to despise, to hate, that type of thought. Okay, that's what escheweth evil means. So we see here that Job was upright. Let me say this: to walk uprightly is to walk righteously. You can't be an upright person and, you know, live a life of sin. That's a two opposite extremes, and I'm going to show you that this morning. It means without iniquity. It means to fear God and to hate evil. Now we're going to use our Bibles this morning. Go to Psalms chapter 15. Psalms chapter number 15. Psalms chapter 15, we're going to look at verse number 1. What is to walk uprightly, Brother Chad? It means basically to honor God, to fear God, to hate evil. That's what it means, all right? And that's the way, it's not just that's the way you believe. This is the difference here. Some people believe that you shouldn't, that you should fear God. Some people believe that you should, you know, not sin. But believing it and doing it are two different things. Okay? And walking uprightly is taking those beliefs and putting them into an action. Okay? It's taking that belief system and putting it into an action. Psalm chapter 15, verse number 1. The Bible says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Now, I could go down through the list here. One of the ways that you are distinguished as walking uprightly is by the words that you say. Okay? And that is a very distinguishing factor. And I've got several references that say that. But what does also the Bible say? He that walketh uprightly and worketh what? Righteousness, okay? So walking uprightly is working righteousness. Go to Psalms chapter number 18. Psalms chapter 18. Look at verse number 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my what? Righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also, what? Upright before him. I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. So we see here again, a man that walks uprightly is a man that walks righteously. Okay? And you know, for young people in today's society, that's not an easy thing to do. And that's not easy for any of you to do. Okay? But once you get a little, and I'm going to show you this, a lot of the reason that people don't walk uprightly is because of peer pressure. Which is actually fear pressure, okay? Now, and I'm going to show you this. Walking uprightly actually liberates you, okay? And I'll show you that in just a minute. But when you're walking uprightly, listen, you don't care what the world does. And that frees you in a lot of ways. You know why most people won't go witness? Because they're afraid. If you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of it, you're afraid, okay? You're bound by fear, all right? That's the truth of it. Because listen, you have time to do what you want to do, all right? That's a universal truth, all right? If you really want to do something, you'll find the time to go do it. People are just afraid to go. What is it? And you're bound by something, okay? You're bound by everybody else around you. And I'll show you, there's a perfect illustration in the Bible of this. Okay? But a man that walks uprightly is a man that walks righteously. Go to Psalm chapter 19, page over. Look at verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. So what is he saying? He's saying, God, I need you to keep me clean. And by keeping me clean, that will keep me upright. Okay? Now, I'm going to apply this in a very practical, it makes sense here in just a moment. Okay? We'll go to Proverbs. Just a book over. Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 6. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. So you are upright because of righteousness. So when you live a righteous life, that makes you an upright person. However, righteousness will also keep you walking upright. Okay, so it's not just the fact that you are upright, but righteousness will keep you walking upright. And like I said, righteousness, walking uprightly and walking righteously, we've lost that. For one thing, we've lost that in America, okay? Good works and doing what God wants us to do, you know, doesn't seem like a big deal to most people, okay? You just do good because, you know, it feels good or, you know, that's what you're taught to do. But do we do good because, remember what the Bible says about Job. He feared what? It wasn't because of the laws. This is what I'm trying to teach young people. Listen, it's not about the rules that we have at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because if you're just conforming to a rule, what happens when the rules aren't there? Okay? You know what governs an adult in life? It's not about the rules that we have. Okay? Yeah, it's easy to abide by the rules of land. That's not a big deal. Okay? Most of the world does that. But the rules, what I say by rules, the standards that we live to as a Christian, the things that we adhere to as a Christian, you know why it's important for a young person to walk uprightly? Because if you walk uprightly, it doesn't matter if anybody's around watching you. Okay, you got a smartphone. You know what keeps you from looking at something you shouldn't look at? Because it's instantly accessible. Instantly. All right, the TV, your internet, whatever it is, you know what keeps an upright person from doing that? It's not somebody looking over their shoulder. It's a fear of God. Okay? It's not a conforming to a set amount of rules. It's they know that God is watching, and it doesn't matter what any of the rest of the world does. Okay? And that's what we try to get our young people. Listen, mom and dad aren't always going to be there for these young people. Okay? And so at some point, they have to decide, I have to walk uprightly. And you know, this is true with all of us. This is true in my life. I have to decide, not based upon what everybody else is doing, because what happens if everybody else doesn't? You know what the Bible said about Job, that there was none like him in all the land? Makes you stick out. Okay? Now, this is kind of the neat thing. I want you to think about just the word upright. All right? Being bound by sin, when you're bound by sin, it is hard to walk uprightly. When you're bound by sin, it's hard to walk uprightly. Upright means that you have the freedom that comes from living righteously. Most kids say, well, I don't like all the restrictions that we have. Hang on a second. Who's restricting you? Who is restricting you? Because if you don't like the restrictions, you are yielding to the restrictions of the world. You are conforming to what the world wants you to be. You know, you go to any of these, and I told the young people, you know, I hate going to Dollar General and standing in line, or most any place and standing in line at the checkout, because they got all the the magazines that they line, okay? You know what the world is trying to get these young people to do, and us as a whole? It's trying to get them to conform to a mold that they have created. They want these young people to look a certain way. They want these young... What are all the shows on TV now? They're trying to get these young people to conform to a certain thing. Well, hang on. Who is really the captive? You know, when you live righteously, you free yourself from all the pressure that the world puts on you. Amen. And when you decide, I'm going to walk uprightly no matter what else happens, it doesn't matter about the world's music. It doesn't affect you. Because it's not about conforming, okay? It's about doing what God wants you to do, all right? So that's what walking uprightly is. Let me say this. Like I said, walking uprightly is walking in freedom. Go to Leviticus chapter 26, and then we're going to go to one more place, and that's probably all the time we'll have. Leviticus chapter 26. Look verse number, I'm sorry, Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 13. Bible says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen, and I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you to go what? Upright. You know what God said? He said, hey, I rescued you, I freed you from the bondage of Egypt. What's Egypt a representation of in the Bible? The world. And God said, I freed you from the bondage of the world to make you go upright. You know, if I tied somebody up here and just wrapped them completely in rope, it's pretty hard. If they tried to take a step, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to fall down. You know what the Bible says? The righteous falling down before the wicked. I think it says the righteous falling down before the wicked is as a corrupt spring. Something like that. Okay. You know, the righteous, the world, you should not be, Christians should not be falling down to do what the world wants you to do. You should not be conforming to the world. Because when you fall down and conform to the world, in a very literal sense, remember what the word upright? Okay, I'm standing upright. Have you ever seen somebody walk that's not upright? Have you ever seen somebody walk that's not upright? I haven't. I've seen people crawl. Okay? I've seen people do, like, you know, the dead fish flop, you know, across the floor. But I've never seen somebody walk. The whole essence of walking is you have to be upright to do it. Okay? And when you stand upright, it makes you stick out. Remember, if everybody else is falling down and you are upright, you stick out. You know, some of the young people, well, Brother Chad, it does, we don't like, you know, the biggest thing with dress standards, okay, is that young people, and listen, they're, you know, I get on our guys, listen, I get on our guys just as, or more than I talk to our young ladies about dress standards. Okay, I'm not going to hold the young ladies to something that, I'm not holding the guys to an equal dress standard. Okay? I think a young man that when he walks down the street, he ought to look like a young man. Okay? We've got a bunch of guys out there that don't really, I mean, you can't even tell what they are. Okay? And it's vice versa. I'm not gonna tell the young ladies they need to do something and say, guys, you can just, you know, wear whatever you. No. I have probably stricter standards on the guys than the young ladies. Okay? I almost always, you almost will never see me without my shirt tucked in. That may seem like a little thing to you, okay? But you know what? I want there to be something different about me than there is about the world. Because we've got this blending of where everybody's falling down before the little g gods of the world and nobody's standing upright. You know what I told the young people the other day too? You know why young people have a hard time sometimes finding God's perfect will for their life? Think about this. If you've got two young people that are both standing upright, now I want you in a very literal sense, think about this, that are both walking upright, you know, I don't think it's that hard a deal for somebody to find God's perfect will for their life. Because if both young people are standing upright and all the rest of the world's falling down, you know, it makes that person pretty obvious to see. Does that make sense? In a very literal sense. If everybody's falling down flat on the ground, and you've got another young person that's standing upright, okay, that still believes the same thing, I think it makes sense. But what's happened? Everybody's falling down before the world, okay? Brother Chan, what's a good example of this? All right, let's go to Daniel, chapter number 3. And I'm not going to read this whole story. Most of you know it. I'm just going to read just a little bit here. All right. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. All right. Look down at verse number 5. Nebuchadnezzar makes this decree that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. This is exactly what the world's doing today. It said you listen to the music and you go along with the music and you fall down and conform to the world. Fall down. Fall down. Fall down. Okay? So, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Okay, Brother Chad, hang on a second. You just told us to stand upright. But then the world tells us to fall down, and if you don't fall down and conform to everything that the world is, this is going to happen to you, and they want to threaten you with whatever. Whether it be just ridicule or whatever, and it could be persecution one day. Okay? So, that's what the world does. But remember what we read in Proverbs, righteousness delivereth him that is upright in the way. All right, we're going to get to that in just a minute. Therefore, at that time, verse 7, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harpbut, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people and nations and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall worship it, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Why? You know, when all that music started playing and the whole world, and remember, these four men, I don't know where Daniel was at this moment. Okay, I don't think he was right here for whatever reason. I think he would have been with the three guys. I believe that with all my heart. Okay, I don't know where he was. But these, you know, when all that music started, do you think that those three boys and Daniel were the only captives that came out of the land of Judah? No. And so you know what happened to most of the rest of God's people? They fell down. They yielded to what the world wanted to impose upon them, and they fell down. And at that point, what three young men were upright? In a very literal, actual sense, what three young men were upright? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you think that they blended in with everybody else at that moment in their lives? No. I mean, you've got thousands, tens of thousands of people that as soon as this music started, I mean, it's like the wave. And everybody falls down, except for three young men. And they're standing upright. Okay? Yeah, but Brother Chad, don't you know the consequences of standing upright? I mean, they get thrown in the burning fiery furnace. Okay? But what did Proverbs say? Righteousness delivereth them that are upright in the way. Okay? So, let's go down to verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wait a second. Wasn't this supposed to kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Okay. But you know, we looked at a lot of verses that talked about the upright, and in most of them, there was some reference to wicked or wickedness. And you know what? Naughtiness, if we go back to the book of Proverbs, naughtiness... Naughtiness does not bid well for those that are evil. Okay? It hurts them. Whether they believe it or not, it hurts them. What happened to those seven, you know, those seven strong, the strongest men he had in his army? All right? But then we see the three boys that were cast into the fiery furnace. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound. They're bound. So the world did try to bind them. But remember what righteousness does. It delivereth. Okay? They fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. You know, I can see this right now. You know, they may have not seen what's going on in the fire. So he's asking a question. Didn't we just cast three guys bound? And they're kind of like, duh. you know, yes, we just cast three men bound into the fire. He answered and said, lo, I see four men, loose, not bound. Remember what I said? Walking upright is walking in freedom, okay? The world wants to try to still bind you, and they want to put laws, or if they want to even put law, you know, we're not really restricted by laws here in America, if you want to really get down to it. As far as our Christianity and our freedom of religion, we are not restricted in any way. As much as you want to say, well, yeah, but this is such, this, okay, we don't have restrictions. You want to go see a country that's got restrictions, okay? Go to a communist closed country, okay? Go over in the Middle East where they're killing Christians because of their faith, okay? We're not restricted. We walk in freedom, all right? But you know what does restrict us? Remember what I said, fear. Nobody wants to be the three people that stand upright, okay? If I, and this has been done, this has actually been done. If I took everybody out of this room except for maybe one person, and I said, okay, here is a question that I'm going to ask you, and here is the answer that I want you to give me. Okay, let's say I had, you know, a math problem, a fairly simple math problem, not super complicated, but fairly simple, okay? Like 8 times 8, all right? Most of you should know what 8 times 8 is, okay? I hope so. And I had this math problem, and I went out and I told everybody except for one person, I said, all right, the answer to this math problem is 72. Now, is 8 times 8 72? No. What's 8 times 8? 64. But I had everybody come back in. This has been done and it's been proven. I have everybody come back in, and I go to every person and I say, what's the answer to this multiplication problem? 72. 72. 72. 72. 72. And it comes to that one person. 8 times out of 10, they'll say 72. Even though they know that the answer is not 72. You know what that is? It's peer pressure. They're falling down because everybody else is conforming. Listen, the whole world out there, listen folks, the whole world out there is conforming. You don't have to conform. There is no law. Even if there was a law that said you have to conform, there was a law right here that said these boys had to fall down and worship. They said, no, we're standing upright. Is it a comfortable position to be in? No. But if you can get past the uncomfortableness of it, there is a freedom. Listen, because otherwise all those other people that fell down are bound by something. And most of it's fear. Okay? Most Christians are afraid of what the world says. They're afraid of somebody laughing at them. They're afraid of whatever it could be. But if you'll just stand upright, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what the consequences are. Okay? Because I have a feeling that God has a way of delivering those that are righteous from the ungodly. Okay? So, these three Hebrew boys, they fall down. Then there's four men. So they get a personal encounter with Jesus, I believe, right here. Okay? Four men. Because it says the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, how in the world Nebuchadnezzar knew that, I don't know. But I have a feeling that if when we stand in heaven, we won't have a question about who Jesus Christ is. I don't think it's, is that Jesus? I don't think there will be a question. And I don't think in Nebuchadnezzar's mind there was a question about who that fourth person was, okay? And he's there with them. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. The hair wasn't even singed. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out of that fire. Amazing. Why? Because three boys said, we're not conforming to the rest of the world. You know, it's hard to go any place if you're bound. it's hard to go. Some people say, well, Brother Chad, I'm just, you know, I'm getting stagnant in my Christian life. Well, why is that? Why is that? Why aren't you walking uprightly? Okay? Anyway. And the princes and the governors, okay, I'm sorry, I read that verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, remember, you'll not worship any god except you're going to worship some god. And that day, all those people fell down and worshiped the god that Nebuchadnezzar had built. And you know what a lot of people are doing? They're worshiping the god that the world's built. They're in bondage. Just like in Egypt, they're in bondage, okay, to the world. And that's what we're trying to teach our young. Listen, and that's good for all of us. It's good for me. What's prohibiting you from living a Christian life the way it ought to be lived? You don't have to live a failure in a Christian life. You can live the victorious Christian life, okay? But most people don't. Why? Because most people are bowing down. All right? Now, so we see a very practical illustration in the Bible. Now, what is walking uprightly? And I'm gonna go through this real quick. I cannot go through all the references. I promise you, I've got 2 pages of references here that about walking uprightly and walking righteously. But what is walking uprightly? I said this: walking uprightly is walking in freedom. There is a freedom that comes when you walk uprightly. Okay? Walking uprightly is walking blameless before the world. Samuel said that to the children of Israel. All right, he said, he was basically saying, when have I ever defrauded you? I've walked uprightly. And you know what? If you're defrauding the world, if you have shady deal, and this is just practical stuff, okay? You're not walking uprightly, okay? You need to be honest in all of your dealings, in the church, in the business, in the workplace, everything. Walking uprightly is walking blameless before the world. I don't know. I kind of wonder what, you know, those 100 people that were right around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I kind of wonder what was going through their minds when they saw 3 young men that were standing up and wouldn't budge. Because everybody knew the penalty. You know what? I guarantee that all those people around them, they may have hated them, but they respected him. Because they knew the consequences. Okay? And walking blameless before the world. Walking upright, this is a big one, gets the recognition of God. God recognized Job. God will recognize those that walk uprightly. They're easy to recognize because they stick out. Do you stick out or do you just blend in with everything else? Walking upright often brings ridicule. We got a lot of references for that. You know, the world will ridicule you because why will they ridicule you? Because they just want you to be like them. Those 3 Hebrew boys that were standing there and everybody else was around them, maybe friends that were around them, they felt bad inside because there were 3 that didn't, that had the guts to stand up for right. They had the guts to. Got a bunch of spineless Christians. They won't stand up for anything. Okay? When the world's music starts to play, they just fall down and do what everybody else wants. Okay? We got young people. Listen, I'm proud of our young people. We got young people that will stand up for what's right. They got guts. All right? We don't need a bunch of spineless Christians. We need Christians, young people that have guts to do what's right. All right? Because you can change people by standing upright. Walking upright means that you're not falling down. Duh. You will stick out. And it's uncomfortable. But remember, it's very liberating too. A man that walks uprightly refuses to fall down to being like the wicked. This is why, remember, darkness hates light because their deeds are evil. Okay? Light reveals the dark. Light reveals the evil. The way a Christian lives should bother the world. If you can get along with everybody just fine, and go to work, and at some point, you don't bother the world. Brother Levi's not in here tonight, okay, or this morning. He's down in his class. And I will say this for Brother Levi. You know, he's in a very literal sense, he's in a dark place. Okay? But you know what? That guy, they call him the preacher in the coal mine. Everybody knows him as the preacher. Hey, preacher. And he tells me stories. He'll tell me stories you guys don't know about. And you know what? There's a lot of guys that despise him. But you know, everybody respects him. Because he won't stand up for junk. Okay? He's not going to fall down when everybody else is just conforming to the world. He's standing upright. He's walking upright. And you know what? He's made, because of that, he has made a very real difference. Brother Val Lovelace is the same way. They walk upright down there, where in a real sense, that, you know, it's a man's workplace. And as a result of that, it's a very filthy, vulgar place. And you know, there are other Christians down there that a lot of them fall down. But you know, sometimes what other Christians need when they fall down is somebody that they can look over and see somebody standing up. And it gives them the courage to stand up. Remember that illustration I said about 72? 8 times 8, 72? If I had two people give me the right answer, it would revolutionize the survey. Everybody would be like, well, they said the right answer. No, that's right. That's the right answer. Okay? If you don't bother the world, it's probably because you are like the world. If you don't bother the world, it's probably because you're like the world. Walking uprightly is a matter of the heart. Walking uprightly is the high road. Walking uprightly affects our decision making. You look at life differently. You look at decisions differently. Is this conforming to the world, or is this walking uprightly? I'm going to say this. Walking uprightly brings confidence. There's a confidence that comes when the person says, I'm walking uprightly. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. This is what I'm doing. And there's an amazing amount of confidence that comes with that. And I think God gives us that confidence. And lastly, this is just the end of the list, not to say in order. Walking uprightly is speaking correctly. By the words that you say, many times, yeah, it's not a visible thing that everybody sees that you're falling down. But many times, for out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. Remember I said, walking uprightly is a matter of the heart. Okay? And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What are you saying? What comes out of your mouth? What song lyrics do you know? Okay? What words do you say? What slang? Slang is an epidemic in our name. I don't even know what most of these slang words mean. Where'd you come up with that? We have lost, and a lot of it is from, this is not really anything to do with it, a lot of it is from lack of reading. Lack of reading. Okay? Your stupid text, I don't know what most text messages mean anymore. It's all abbreviated. Okay? I don't know if I'm talking about a mom or it's some weird abbreviation for something else. I mean, what's a lol? I mean, I thought a lol was a forklift that you put shingles on the roof with. Okay? No, I'm kidding. I know what lol means. All right? Anyway, I don't know where I got off on that, but our speech, though, your speech betrays your heart. Okay? All right? Your speech betrays your heart. Be careful about how you say. Be careful about how you act. Okay? What is it that you're falling down and conform? Is it, you know, the way you look, the way you act, the way you speak, what you watch? Okay? And if you're not careful, everything in the world wants to cram you into a conformed prototype. Some of the things that people wear, have you ever thought about some of the, honestly, just in all practicality, some of the things that people wear are totally unfunctional. Okay? Why is that? Because they're cramming everybody into a form that they want you to fit into. Okay? And you could go anywhere. Anything that the world does, anything the world pushes, is just they're trying to make you conform to the laying down. All right? Let's determine to walk uprightly, to walk righteously. It's not about what everybody else thinks. It's not about what everybody else does. It's about what God thinks, and it's about what God sees. That's why we need to fear God and hate evil. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this. Lord, I'm excited. I'm excited about this for our young people, Lord. If we can grasp this as a young generation and get this integrated into our lives, Lord, I believe that we can change things. I believe the young people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church have the potential to change things. Three young men among tens of thousands of people changed the whole laws of a nation by one act. And Lord, I pray that we would have Christians that would stand up and would do what's right. I pray that I would be emboldened to stand. Lord, it's easy just to not say anything when something's said. But Lord, I pray that we would challenge things. I pray that we would know what we believe, know why we believe it, and we would stand for what's right. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. Help us have a good service this morning. Thank you for those that are here. In Jesus' name.